Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
Surprise live.
Oh,
hey,
live.
Surprise live. There we go.
We're going live. We're live.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And we are live from a couple of places on the internet. We are live on Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, X/. To us later, we're guests. We're very excited to be with you. We have a packed show tonight with some incredible guests. I'm very excited to have them here. But before we get to any of that, once a month, we pay tribute to folks on our Patreon account. Support us at patreon.com/comicbookclub. Anybody at the $5 and up level, we read their name as a thank you. So why don't we jump into that right now with Oidis Larson.
Aaron C. Hollis.
Adam Bass.
Adam DeRose.
Adam Marks.
Adriel Moreland.
Elena Fontenot.
Amanda Harris.
Andrew Primo.
Andrew Tillman.
Beercat PhD.
Carrie Matthews.
Christina Jaramillo.
Christina Rensfield.
Curse Christer Lizzie.
Clemens Luer.
Corey Smoker.
Dan Snow.
Daniel Fuentes.
Daniel Pete the Poodle Cabrera.
Oh, great to see that back. Danny Heck.
That hurts.
David Donaldson.
Debbie Gloom.
Dennis Scott.
Derek Mainhart.
Doug Sodawaite.
Dylan LJ.
Eduardo, Alex is very cool and not a poodle. Martinez, that's weird.
Emmett Quish.
Enrique Chumbas.
Gerard DeVilliers.
Ian Rainey.
Ian Thomas.
Isaac Carter.
Jake Fry.
James Connolly.
Jaron Townsend.
Jason Donahue.
Jeffrey Whaley.
John Henderson.
Jonathan Jong.
Jonathan McCool.
W. Broxson.
Joshua Wright.
Julian Lobato.
Kelby.
Kevin Clonrock.
Kieran Broderick.
Cody Thomas.
Lance Kaminsky.
Liwana Thomas.
Luke Asink.
Maddie.
Matt Tice.
Matthew C. Hernandez.
Matthew DePalma.
Matthew Schofield.
Michael McAuliffe.
Michael Tillman.
The mysterious person known only as Name.
No, that was the wrong sorting on my part. Nelson Kelso Martinez.
Nick G.
Nick Grayson.
Official CBC chef Brett Macris.
AKA Stray Bullies. Omnia Soul Art.
Oren Dix.
Pedro A. Wrangle.
Provocative Ambulance.
Rev Mikey.
Robert Pettinato.
Ron Hood.
You should know Roxanne this name.
Tyler, my mom.
Yay.
Sarah Schottmuller.
S.
Sarah Schaefer.
Sarah Schaefer. Scott Carpenter.
I just have S on mine.
Oh,
Scott England.
This is going great. Stanley.
Taylor Bryan.
The Big Flood.
The 12 Bench.
Victor Perez.
Will Buchanan.
William Leach.
Zachary Bachman.
And Zekra's Viral Comics, despite those crazy mess-ups and things, we really do appreciate your support. We wouldn't be able to keep the show going without it, for real. Again, patreon.com/comicbookclub. You can actually do $2 and above, and not only do you get access to our very active, very fun Patreon Slack, but you also get our back catalog going all the way back to 2011, all the way up through 2023, with thousands of podcasts, many of which were otherwise not online any longer, and some of them even have good audio. So there you go. So that's pretty cool.
Love to hear that. Literally.
Yes, that's a good selling point, I think. But those names out of the way, and thank you all, whatever level you are at. As mentioned, we have some amazing guests for you this evening.
Yeah.
First up, they are the creators behind the new Powerpuff Girls comic book, which is coming out tomorrow from Dynamite. Ladies and gentlemen, Kelly Thompson and Polina Ganeshaw. Hello, welcome.
Woohoo, welcome.
Hello.
So excited to have you here. Polina, you're on mute. Yes.
I'm here.
Yes, you're here. Yay!
I guess.
This book is great. We love Powerpuff Girls. I was so excited to hear the two of you were the team on this as well, because I know you were going to bring the goods. But coming into this, knowing there is such a devoted fan base, and obviously both of you have a deep history on comics that has devoted fan bases at all, were there any nerves here in terms of getting this right? Or did you feel like, nope, got it, I know how to do this?
I mean, I think voice is always a question mark. But I do feel like that's one of the things I'm better at, you know? Like, I have my problems as a writer, but voice tends to be a strength. So I don't get super caught up in it, especially when it's something that I really, like, genuinely am a fan of myself. Like, I watched these when I was much younger. I've read a bunch of the comics. I also did a lot of research because even if you're doing done-in-ones like we are, there's so much. I mean, the Powerpuff Girls are like Deadpool. They've been everywhere. They've done everything. It's hard to not repeat their adventures. So, you know, you have to do a little reading to sort of cover your bases. And honestly, when you start reading again, there's just a cadence and a rhythm to it that's really fun, that has a very specific call, the same way the art does. So I think, probably funnily enough, Polina and I both had a thing that can be limiting, but is also an incredible crutch when you're reaching for something that has that huge fan base, is that it's really well pre-established, right? There's all these guidelines. Right.
Yeah.
Polina, was it like that for you too? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
No, that's fine. We were asking the same question, so it was really good.
Yes, exactly the same. I mean, like Kelly said, it's something I've loved most of my life. You know, I was the target demographic when the show came out in 98, and I, you know, drew it for years. So a lot of it was just tapping back into that past that I had with it. And not feeling very nervous. No, honestly, like Kelly said, it's like, it's such a strong world that is already established, that's already so fleshed out and iconic. It's like, there's a little room to play and be yourself, but I wouldn't want to. I want to be true to what this amazing show is. Yeah.
Same. Well, a lot of people, we were talking about it, a lot of people were like, are you going to do something crazy? I was like, why would you want to do that? Like, it's such a fun, cool universe to play in,
the
with like
dark
so many
take,
fun villains.
The definitive
dark take. Why would you want to do like a grim and gritty alternate reality arc? Like, I do like that kind of stuff, but I don't know. Powerpuff Girls just sort of transcends it a little bit, though. Like, it's just like you fall into that rhythm of like the narrator and all of it, and it just comes together. And I think it's really just an example of something that's incredibly well put together. And you know, has really aged. I've been stealing this from Polina ever since we started, but she said timeless at one point when we were doing one of these interviews, and she nailed it, because that's it. It does. It still feels modern and current to me. Like, when I look at it, even the old stuff, because, you know, it was using like that cool old UPA style for like all the backgrounds and everything, which has a timeless quality because so many of us grew up with it on cartoons that were already super old. Like, you know, I didn't realize when I'm a kid that I'm watching a Bugs Bunny cartoon that came out in the 1950s or something. Like, so there is a timelessness to cartoons that I think is very helpful in this regard. So you just lean into what they've already proved works so well, and, you know, hopefully bring a bit of fun and a bit of your own perspective to it. And I think you're sort of set. I mean, look at those kids. Paulina, did you design those or are they existing kids? I wasn't sure.
I pulled them from episodes, so they're real kids.
Nice.
Hilarious. But then she designed that robot, and I think I think in the script it was like, you know, keep it friendly, futuristic but friendly and kid friendly, and like I think Rosie from Jetsons was the only thing I put in there. But when I saw him, I was like, oh my god, look at him, his little cheeks, little antenna. It's so great. So perfectly Powerpuff Girls, that design.
It really is. Yeah.
Well, I would throw out the opposite question then. What do you bring to this that is something that's so established? Where are you finding the slots to update it or bring it into your voice a little bit?
I think that's a harder question. Paulina, I don't know. I'll throw you under the bus. You answer that question. Go ahead.
God, it's so hard. Because like I said, it's like I love the visual style they've established so much. But I really do think I injected part of myself in the art. I had a few friends that I showed this before it came out, or before it's out. It comes out tomorrow. And they were like, I can still see you in it. And I was really, really surprised to have that as an answer. Yeah, because I stayed true to the style as much as I could. But I think something about the way I like layout and color is what is most me of this. But I don't know. I like I said, I was trying my hardest to be true to the amazing world McCracken has made. So, yeah, I think it's incredible to me.
I do still see you in it, but I have to say, I think the same way I responded to seeing my own work and it feeling truly Powerpuff Girls, I think I responded to yours. Like when you have that thing with the robots punching them all. And the first time I saw that, I think I saw it in the layout of the sketch, but I didn't really process it until I saw it in full colors. And I was like, oh my God, that's so like exactly quintessential Powerpuff Girls action scene. Like it was so great. I think Paulina's right. I think she also had a dual thing where I asked a lot of very specific like frameworking, because a lot of the idea of this first one is the villain sort of trying to separate them because he knows that that's some of the strength of them. And so I had Paulina playing with sort of subtle things that, like, you know, I feel like kids probably won't notice, but like adults who are really savvy comics readers will, where like the beginning of the separation of the girls into their own tiers and their own panel boxes. So, you know, I think it's a page after that where they start to separate up. And like, I love that. So it was a surprisingly complex script considering it's just a Powerpuff Girls script. Like you'd think you could keep it pretty light. I think Paulina, and I remember writing notes in there to Paulina, like, hey, if you hate this, we can talk about other ways to do it. We can just do like more traditional double page spreads and stuff. And she was like, it took me a while to figure out what you were going for, but like when I got there, like I get it. And I think, you know, it's cool and let's do it. So it was really nice. It's always really nice to have a partner that, you know, I don't ever want to write an artist into a corner because they're visual masters and I'm not. So 9 times out of 10, they're going to have better ideas than I do, but I am interested in the conversation between us. And so I loved that she was able to look at that and pick it up and then turn it into something really incredible that really pushed the idea forward. It's always a great thing in a collaborator.
Yeah. I wish we could show those pages because those are literally my favorite pages in the entire book. So
it's too bad. I think the one that I was talking about goes right after that preview section where it starts to sort of separate them and then they break off into their own tiers. Mm-hmm. So it's really fun.
On the same note, and I do think you, as a fan of the shows, I guess, I really feel like you capture the voices, you capture the look, etc. But also, it's been off the air for almost 20 years at this point, I believe. So what's important with a book like this to obviously appeal to fans, but at the same time, try to appeal to a random kid who's like, this looks fun?
I mean, I feel like if you're a kid, it's the art, isn't it? I think the art is what draws you in. If you're a kid, it's got such incredible, like, bright sort of primary colors vibes, right? And all these sort of cartoony fun shapes. It's got violence. So I don't know. I think if you're new, you're coming to it that way. But I do think on the writing side of it, we didn't think a lot about that, or I didn't think a lot about that. Like the whole, you know, you think about that a lot when you're starting a new Birds of Prey comic or whatever. You're like, oh, everybody, someone's, this comic is someone's first comic. And so they don't know what the Birds of Prey are. And they don't, you know, that stuff gets really drilled into you as someone who makes comics. And we didn't talk about that as much, Nate and I, when we were doing Powerpuff Girls. And I think it's because the Powerpuff Girls concept is incredibly simple. Mm-hmm. And so you sort of don't really have to bring everybody up to speed every time. Like, I feel like if you just read this, you'd be like, oh, I get it. They're little girl superhero sisters. They save the world. They live in a place called Townsville. Like, that's it. Like, and then it just, the world building all just sort of builds around them. It's super fun stuff.
Yeah.
Paulina, I wanted to ask you about flying and drawing flying in particular, because looking through these pages, I mean, again, it's present in the comic book and it's nothing that's weird for superheroes or anything, but it really does feel like they're floating on the pages. And it strikes me that that must be slightly harder to do than the regular reader would imagine.
To draw like floating or flying?
Yeah. Is there something about that? I mean, is it like the little leg up that does it, or what is the trick there?
Yeah, I think it is that. I think it's just like this subtle acting to be like, they're not like in T pose or something. Mm-hmm. It's just to have that little bit of floaty whimsy, things like that, I would say. Yeah.
How about when you write into the script that they should be flying and then stop short? And she draws like the cutest little panel you've ever seen of their like little trails stopping, like with little, you know, color coded trails. I love it. That's one of my favorite panels in the whole thing.
And I say Alex is trying to fly, so that's why he's asking.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank
you. So any tips you can give? It hasn't worked so far, but I've hurt myself a lot.
Cuter poses now. Beautiful.
The trick is I can fly, so
insider.
Super revealed. Yeah.
Yes. Is there a particular member of the Powerpuff Girls that you find yourself drawn to? Is there one that you like better than the others? Choose one of your children. Paulina, I'll go to you first. Geez.
We're going around the horn. Oh my gosh.
I mean, Kelly knows my answer, but it's so boring. I'm a dual lover of Blossom and Buttercup. I don't know why. It's been like that my whole life. I think it's the duality of them. Mm. It's like they fight against each other a lot. So I don't know. I love them both. And I think me personally, I have shades of Blossom with a little bit of Bubbles. So Buttercup is very much someone I wish I was more like. So I think she's just like cool.
You're chasing that Buttercup.
Yeah, I love Buttercup. But I also love Blossom because I see myself in her. So I'm a little bit of a goody-goody. And that's, you know. It is what it is.
Bubbles is my favorite all day long. Twice on Sunday, no question. Yes. I love them all. I love them all, but she's the best one for me. I naturally lean away from Blossom the way a lot of people do with leader characters who are sort of, but so I sort of love that Paulina is super into Blossom because I feel like the leader characters always get short shrift. They sort of often don't get the luxury of being the sort of funny side character or whatever. They always have to be like the more responsible one, and I do identify with that more too. Paulina and I are apparently both like grade grubber idiots, but so it makes you reach for something else. I like the sweetness and kindness of Bubbles. I also like that when Bubbles goes crazy, it's the most dangerous time of all. She's the one who loses it the most when she loses it, which I think is a terrific little character quirk.
That's awesome. I love that you guys are balanced in your
answers. Yeah, basically.
I was like, it's great that you, these are your answers, because I always feel a little bad of picking one. And like, here we are. Yeah. We're all covered.
And it's perfect for us because Alex is Blossom, Pete is Buttercup, and I am Bubbles. So we don't really have to have a favorite. It's
you
just
know
we
what?
Are that.
I know Pete is Buttercup because I saw he was ready to cut the streaming service. One mistake. Gone. One mistake.
That's so funny.
Yeah. Real quick, Pete, before you ask a question, before I forget to bring this up. So every week on the show, we have a professional chef named Brett Macris, who is down in New Orleans. This is true. He runs a restaurant called Wild South, which, Justin, you've been to, and it's amazing.
Great
right?
spot. Tasting menu place. Just opened a couple months ago. Amazing whenever you're down there. Pop in. Huge.
So
fan.
Sometimes he curates a cocktail, sometimes he creates a cocktail. This week he did create a cocktail in honor of this. He created some Chemical X.
Oh my God.
Which is gin, sweet vermouth, Aperol, orange liqueur, seltzer, or club soda, and an orange peel. It's sugar, ooh, it's spice, it's everything nice.
I love it. That's so fun.
That's amazing. I'm from New Orleans, by the way. I gotta go there.
Oh my gosh. Oh,
yes.
What, just what's opened the name up of it again?
Wild South.
Wild South.
It's reported from our reporter, Justin Tyler.
Man on the ground.
Man on the streets.
Yes. So good.
Hey, listen, you had a question,
it's got, though. It's got Powerpuff Girls cocktails. It's doing something right. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just want, you know, we all have our favorite Powerpuff Girls, but one of the great things is also amazing villains.
Yes.
And I feel like having favorites and kind of growing up with something would make me just want to do stories about Mojo Jojo all the time. Like, do you have to fight that when you get a project or a kind of something that you know too well?
Or you just lean into it. I mean, Mojo Jojo is the second issue villain, and there was no chance it wasn't going to be Mojo. He's my favorite, and I got to be honest, writing him felt like coming home. It felt right. It felt right. Writing these big, long, too big for the balloon soliloquy monologue things. It was so fun, and that issue in particular has a really fun, very Powerpuff Girls-esque twist in it, in my mind, where
can't wait.
Sort of goes a different way than you think maybe it's going to go. Very fun.
This is a little bit of a side turn from this, but we are rapidly heading towards San Diego Comic-Con, and Kelly, the Eisners are there. You were nominated for 5 Eisner nominations.
Wow, yeah.
More than anybody else, I believe.
Strong showing.
Huge. Do you have any big plans? Are you
my plan is just hoping we don't get shut out, because I was really excited and then I was like, oh my god, new fear unlocked, we don't win any of them. So I'm just hoping, I'll just on my knees praying we win one. So
yeah,
it's great. Maddie is gonna be there, so I really hope we win for the call, but it's great.
No matter what happens, does it feel like you've had a year, as they say? Like, are you like, what does that feel like, and what made that happen, I guess?
Well, so I think, you know, when it happened, I not long after I found out, I went with some friends. The first time I'd really seen them in a while, we all went to Furiosa. And so they were like congratulating me, and we were talking about it a little bit. And I said, you know, at the end of the day, like, it was just a really hard year for me, like really hard. We really struggled this year, and in a lot of ways, and but the problem is a lot of people have that year, and you rarely get rewarded for it. So I try to be really grateful for people recognizing that I tried really hard, and even though things were really hard, we made some good stuff. And I mean, and that doesn't always happen, you know. I'm sure. Yeah. I hope I'll have an easier year this year. It's going a little better so far, so I hope I will feel differently next year. But like, I don't know. It's truly something for people to see your work and go, hey, good job. We see what you're doing, and we appreciate it, and it means a lot. And I'm glad it's recognized, because I was just talking. This other podcast I did today about, you know, the difference between making financial choices and passion choices. And I'm pretty bad at not making passion choices, and I'm already in a passion job. So, you know, I think you have to be savvy, and I'm not always as savvy as I should be in that respect. And so I think that makes the awards coming for both creator owned stuff and work for hire stuff, you know, the nominations, it felt really rewarding. It felt like people are paying attention, and I was really happy.
Well, it's even more of an accomplishment if you were having a hard year to also produce work that gets recognized so much. So shouts to that. That's double.
Thank you. Thank you. And I just want to say, like, none of it possible without really incredible collaborators. You know, Black Cloak with Meredith McLaren, I just feel like she should be a superstar. So it's so great to see her recognized. Mattia is so young and new, and I am so excited for him to have this nomination in under his belt. I mean, it's probably rude to call him young and new, but his talent is just so immense, and he's such a terrific person. And, you know, Guri Hiru part of the reason It's Jeff even exists is because they were big fans of him and they were drawing him into things in the background and stuff. And so us getting to do this comic together and Jeff really taking off and getting nominated for Eisners and stuff, it's amazing. It's a, it's really great. And like the Birds of Prey thing, I couldn't have asked for anything better than for Jordy, Leo, and I to get back together and immediately get a new Eisner nomination. It felt like, okay, we know how to make comics. All right.
See?
Oh, man, that's awesome. I do want to ask you about one upcoming thing, and I'm sure you can't really say anything about it, but I would be remiss not to ask anyway. But there is absolute something coming potentially from DC Comics. There was a Ashcan that was put out. Your name was among the creator list as far as we have seen. Is there anything that you can say about that at all?
I mean, I was going to make a joke, but fortunately I realized it would be wildly inappropriate, so I've stopped myself first.
Even the jokes are NDA'd. Wow.
That joke would not have been good in our current time frame. Something about DC coming for me if let's not do that.
Good edit. Good editing.
Great edit.
Well,
great
maybe
in the moment,
better edit if I just said nothing at all. Is that Bleeding Cool has an ash can? Is that?
Yeah, they put that up there in the beat. Yeah. The beat put it up as well.
Yeah, I mean, I can't discuss things around Bleeding Cool. Like, that's not a thing.
All right. Fair enough.
I suspect if there's news, there'll be. I suspect some things will happen at SCCC. I'm sure Scott's there and.
Yes, I know Scott and Josh Williamson are doing some sort of live stream about something tomorrow.
I saw that too, just right as I came on here. I got some alert about that.
Yeah.
I must be tagged in there somehow.
My guess is they're going to announce they're doing a live wrestling match. Just the two of them. We'll see if I'm right or wrong.
It's been coming for a while.
I do have one question here from the comments I want to ask. Derek Mainhart says, is the Cull coming back anytime soon?
I think anytime soon is too optimistic, but we are working on plans to bring it back. I would say financially it's only a modest hit, and we don't really have what I was hoping we would have was some option money to help us extend our run, but because of the strikes and the pandemic and everything else that's going on, we hit in a really bad time for that to happen. So everything's been sort of dried up on that front, and that meant there was just sort of less money to go around. There were also really rough year for printing and shipping costs and all of that stuff, so it all ate into our profits that we hoped to build more with. So we're trying to figure it out. I hope it's going to happen. I'd love to tell more stories in this universe with Mattia, but it might end up being a thing where we have to move on to another story. I don't know. It's a tough market. There's no way to like sugarcoat it, you know?
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll do what we can to give it the comic book club bump because,
well, thank you.
I love that book. I do want to read some more.
It's so great, isn't it? I mean, I gotta be honest. Because we're already doing more Black Cloak, if I had to pick the Eisner I want to win, it would be for the Cull, because I think that would help us ensure getting more, you know? But yeah, it's hard to pick your favorite children.
Yeah.
Except when it comes to Bubbles, apparently.
You answered quickly and definitively.
On that note, then, why don't we move it back to Powerpuff Girls and start to wrap up here. Paulina, before we do wrap up, other than Powerpuff Girls, is there anything else you would like to plug that people should check out?
Oh, gosh. I'm so in the trenches right now with a book I'm still working on. It won't be out for years, but I do have a few books coming out this year. I have, let me see, actually, I have one right here.
Oh, yes.
It's like an action scene all of a sudden.
Yes. It's, I did the Wonder Woman backups all last year and the year before, and it's finally being compiled in a little graphic novel, which is very cool. It comes out at the end of August, which is exciting. And then I have another book coming out in October called Girl Mode that I'm very, very excited about. And if you would like to read more kids stuff within the realm of Powerpuff Girls, I have a book that I wrote called Lemon Bird, and I'm really proud of it, and people should check that out too.
Lemon Bird's great. Everybody should look at it.
Awesome.
So cute.
It's cute as hell.
Does look cute.
It's exactly what I pictured.
Yeah, so it's exactly what
it is. The hand is floating. like flying almost.
Yeah, really there's lots of flying, like you asked. So.
I'm going to read that for tips. I'm very excited.
Exactly.
Kelly, over to you. Any? Obviously, we talked about a lot of stuff here, but anything else you want to plug?
No, so we're going on Birds of Prey. Scarlet is still coming out. We've got the new Powerpuff Girls. I do have an announcement coming this summer and then probably one in the fall as well. That's sort of a big deal. We've got new Jeff coming out in the fall as well. Awesome. And I think that'll be both a print collection of season 3 and also the season 4 on Marvel Unlimited. So a lot of cool stuff. Great. And then Black Cloak is starting up in August, issue 7. We just put it all to bed with Image. I'm very excited. I think Meredith's work is like at a whole new level, if that's possible. It's a really cool new mystery story we're starting up, a little detective yarn in the sci-fi fantasy space. What's not to like?
Yeah,
absolutely. Awesome. Nothing. We love that book too. Thank you both for coming on. The book is awesome. I can't wait to hand it to my kids tomorrow to check out. It's great. Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, guys.
Always great to talk. See you.
Bye.
All right. There we go. Once again, that was Kelly Thompson and Paulina Gauchot. The book is Powerpuff Girls. It's out tomorrow from Dynamite. It's absolutely delightful. It's everything you want out of the series. Why don't we bring in our next guest? They also have an amazing book, which is not out tomorrow. It's out today.
Hey!
In stores everywhere for a second. It is Youth Group. We're going to bring them in right now. Bowen McCurdy and Jordan Morris. Hello.
Hey, what's going on?
Welcome. So excited to talk about this book. Congratulations on your book birthday. Yeah. Have you, I always like to ask this on a book birthday, have you snuck out to the store to see if it's on the shelves yet?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. What was that experience like? Did you?
I mean, it's great. This was the first time I think that I've run into a book that I've done in Barnes & Noble specifically, which was exciting for me. Otherwise, it's just been like local comic book shops. So that's a big deal.
Cool. Yeah.
Jordan, what about you? Did you make it out of the house today?
No, I haven't yet, but I am probably going to go down to my local indie, which is Vroman's here in Pasadena, and look at it on a shelf and feel really excited and cool and good.
Genuine tear. Perfect.
The what? Yes, I will shed a single tear.
Well, awesome. This book is
great. And
for
the record, I'm a Bubbles.
Oh, okay. Thank
you. There it is.
Thank you. Yeah, also, we should mention you're an Eisner nominee as well, right, Jordan?
Speaking of, when I said Bubbles there, I was referring to which Powerpuff Girl I am.
No, I know, but I'm segueing into the Eisners. I'm using that.
It's a perfect segue. I just don't want people to be confused. But yes, the graphic novel Bubble that I did with a great writer named Sarah Morgan and a great artist named Tony Cliff, that got nominated for 2 Eisners. And it was like insane and cool and exciting. And I can't believe it happened.
Yeah, congrats.
Are you going to head down for the ceremony?
I am. I'm going to be at SDCC doing some stuff with Youth Group, and I probably will stop in and see that ceremony. I'm rooting for Kelly. Kelly, that Birds of Prey book is so good. Oh, my God.
So if you lose, are you going to go nuts, though? Or are you going to, like, storm
the
stage?
Yeah, you should lose it.
Oh, I think so. I'm not nominated this year, but I will. I think I'll probably just go nuts anyways.
Oh, okay. Smart. Fair enough. There you go. Well, cool. Why don't we talk about Youth Group instead, then, and actually move into the book that we're talking about? So this book is great. Like I said, it is a graphic novel from First Second. The rough pitch, I think online at least, is like Buffy the Vampire Slayer meets, wait, I'm forgetting what thing it meets that you pitched it as. But basically it's like a Christian or Catholic youth group who fights demons. And a new member ends up there. She's initially very iffy about absolutely everything that's going on, including the whole vibe of the youth group. But I won't spoil it. Maybe they end up getting together by the end and fighting evil. I thought this was great. I thought this was so well structured. Love the art as well. What was the genesis of this idea? What did it start with? Was it youth group with demons, or where did it begin?
So the germ of the idea was just that I was in one of these things. I was in one of these like goofy Bible study groups that like tried to be cool. It tried to like convince the kids like, hey, this isn't like church. It's like fun. We sing songs church. And we hang out, and the youth pastor turns his chair around backwards, and he's got tattoo sleeves and a surfboard, and like Jesus was pretty punk rock if you think about it. Like,
oh, wow.
I grew up doing that and always just thought it would be a funny, weird, like emotionally loaded place to set a story. And yeah, and I had always just kind of wanted to write about it. I feel like you see these kinds of things and you see like religious kids in media, and it's always pretty broad and it can be very funny, but it doesn't really seem like it's coming from like an honest place sometimes. So I thought I, you know, just being someone who did it could probably write about it authentically. And then I've always liked just smashing genres together and smashing genre into stuff. That's kind of what Bubble was. It was kind of a aimless in your 20s story smashed up with a sci-fi dystopia story. So yeah, I thought religious horror would just be really fun. I can't think of a lot of religious horror comedies. So yeah, just thinking about, you know, there's already a bunch of spooky stuff in the Bible. So just kind of like, you know, doing all the religious horror stuff, but making the characters the slightly annoying, hopefully pretty lovable goofballs I grew up with.
Well, that was the thing that I was really struck by the book. And then, Bowen, I want to ask you a couple of questions about the art as well, obviously. But is that it's really respectful of the group. And that is something that I don't think you see a lot in media, like you're saying. You see skewering of religion. You see, this is stupid. These people are just like very uptight and coming in and doing their dumb thing, and they get made fun of by the cool kids, and then whatever happens. But here, they're not the cool kids, but you still treat them in a very honest and hopeful and nice way, where it's not like youth group bad. It's just youth group could maybe change a little bit, I think. Is that kind of on the right pace of what you were looking for?
Yeah, that's something we definitely like talked a lot about when we were making the book, is like we want the characters to be funny, but we don't want them to be punchlines. You know, we want them to be wrong in some cases, and we want to be critical of this, but we don't want them to be like villains, right? We don't want them to be religious villains. So yeah, I think we just tried to walk that line. I hope we did it. I hope that like, regardless of where you are in your faith journey, you can enjoy the book and not feel like it's, you know, super, super slanted one way or the other. I think like it is very valid and good to do stuff that's hypercritical of religion. Mm-hmm. And I think you could do a version of this story that has like sharper teeth. But I think we wanted it to be like fun and light, and a story about people kind of like putting aside small differences to like not get killed by demons, which is kind of everyone's larger goal in life.
The religion in youth groups doesn't have a lot of teeth either. Like you were saying, it's sort of like, let's all chill a little bit and occasionally sneak some Jesus stuff in here. So like, that's why I really like about the book is it uses that as the place to get into these characters and then do all the fun horror stuff that I think this book really crushes.
Bowen, let's talk about the art a little bit. So I love the demon designs in here, but there's so many different ways that they potentially could have gone, because obviously demons, I don't know if you guys know, demons are not real. So they could be like absolutely anything.
Controversial topic I brought up, but
what was your goal here? Was there a specific mythology you were looking to, or was it creating your own whole cloth, or how did you approach this?
Just the demons you see when you close your eyes?
Yeah.
Or a totally demon you know.
My sleep paralysis demons. No, actually, I guess the mythology was Doom. Jordan had pointed me to Doom designs as visual inspiration. We went back and forth.
And sorry, to be clear, you mean the Dwayne Johnson movie version, not the...
Yes. That's the shorthand we're working with here, right?
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, that was like the starting point. And I think I sort of... I guess I gentled them, the designs, a little bit for the tone of the book. They're definitely not like spooky scary. It's more what they're doing that's the frightening thing. So there was a bit of a balance to be found there. But I think it was just mostly like instinct, Jordan's input and direction, and just a combination of our different paths paths that we wanted to walk.
Yeah, I just want to say I really love this book. I also really love the tone the art has. There's like kind of a softness to the color and stuff. So you're not like in this insane world, you know. So it really does do a good job of kind of like lulling you to be like focusing on the people and the problems and what's going on, and not so much like the hellish landscape or whatever. So I think that the good tone does play, such a great good job of setting this book up. I'm sorry, I didn't mean it.
What just happened?
Oh, I was just telling you your demon. I was just telling you your demon voice was good.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Sorry, I thought I was interrupting you, so I wanted to...
Honestly, it's a gentle demon, which is perfect. Yeah.
Yeah. But oh, go ahead. Were you coming around to a question?
I was trying to. But I just felt. I was wondering if that was like a conscious choice. You talked about kind of like softening things a little bit, but like the color palettes, these things were such great choices that I always felt like in good hands. I'm wondering how much you kind of thought about that or...
Thank you. I mean, yeah, I use color a lot in my comics. That's like one of my, I guess, biggest stages to the storytelling aspect. There's a lot to color theory that influences the way that you immerse yourself in a story. So I tried to differentiate each scene and the tone of each scene through color, and just like was deliberate with the palette. It's a little bit outside of my usual one, which leans more like greens and teals. This book is definitely more pinks and purples, but that was, I think, in an effort to push the 90s aesthetic, which for whatever reason I associate with those two colors. So yeah, it's also like the characters are fun and bubbly and kind of vibrant. So I'm trying to reference that in the visuals. But like just generally tonally, the way that Jordan writes is so full of affection and it is gentle. And I think the thing that I wanted to do was sort of have a way to marry that with the visuals a little bit and emphasize that empathy. So
we killed it.
That's really cool. Real quick, Alex, what I like about what you're saying is the color palette choices, there's such a flow to it though, because you sort of move from those pink and purples into the sort of blues and greens, and it really feels almost like there's something about the us like dipping in and out of the emotions the same way the characters are, and the same way you are when you're like younger going through a bunch of different things. And so like that's something that I feel like a lot of books choose a color palette and stick with it. The flow here, I really appreciated the choices.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Jordan, what was important in terms of the main characters? Obviously, you have like the classic X-Files dynamic spread out between a couple of people. You have a couple of believers. You have a skeptic that comes in the middle there. But other than that, what were you aiming for?
Yeah. So I before I thought about who the main characters were, I just kind of like sketched out some characters that I knew would probably be in that youth group. And there is, so Kay is our main character, and she's the skeptic, she's the non-believer, she's the one who doesn't want to be there. And there was always one of those kids in youth group. They smelled like clove cigarettes, they rolled their eyes at everything, they were clearly there because they like got caught doing something and like have to do it as penance. And yeah, I just like, I liked her more and more the more I wrote, and I'm like, oh, I think this is the main character, and I think it's fun that she's the way in. And then Meg is like the true believer. She's very peppy. She's very Elle Woods. She's, you know, to some probably the most annoying. And yeah, I there was just always those kids too. There was always those kids who just loved it, who sang the loudest, who just believed it, who, you know, didn't want to question anything. And yeah, then there's Cortland. Cortland is like a very classic Southern California stoner. I have a lot of affection for that kind of guy. There was also those kids too who you could tell like liked it and were having a good time, but maybe didn't like live the life when they left church. So yeah, I just thought these were all the kind of fun types. And then as I started to write more, the like Kay becoming the main character kind of like became clear, and then everybody else's role became clear. And yeah, that was kind of the start of it. And yeah, and then the kind of like background characters all became like background characters, if that makes sense.
Right. Yeah. That's such an interesting way to approach it, where you sort of let the characters speak for themselves until you have your cast.
Yeah, totally. And there was some, and yeah, and it's interesting. I always, when I start my own personal writing, I like to start from just like people I know. I love that to be the beginning of a character. You think of somebody in your life who's really funny or interesting or weird, and you start there, and obviously they like become their own character as you write. They become, you know, unique and specific and not just a clone of somebody you went to high school with. But yeah, and I thought it was interesting how these characters became their own people. I think there was like in the initial draft, in like early pitches, there was like a romance between two of the characters that we didn't end up doing. And just because every time I wrote it, it didn't work. And like this seems forced, this isn't working. And then like I kind of let those characters change and kind of be who I, and this is all kind of maybe very vague. I just don't want to like spoil anything in the book, but like, I think the romance wasn't working because that is not who the character was, you know? And, I thought it was interesting to kind of like, let them do their own thing. And that was like fun and surprising.
That feels failed romance feels true to me because a girl I liked in ninth grade invited me to her youth group, a Catholic youth group.
That's how they get you. Mm-hmm.
I was not at all religious or Catholic. I hung out there for a while and she was like, I'm not interested. I was like, see you later from this youth group. Bye bye.
And now you're married with two kids. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah. That's adult group.
Yes. Bowen, what was important to capture in Kay visually? I love the fact that her hair is, it looks like she just woke up all the time. Was that what you were going for?
Yeah. Originally, Kay was supposed to be a little bit more of a goth type. We started out with those designs to fully like contrast against Meg. We went for something a little bit more in between. She's like somewhere between grunge and goth. But I guess the visual route that I went down with her was like, she's always wearing this big shirt that does not fit her. And that was like, it's not in the book at all, but in my head that was like, okay, that's her dad's shirt. 'Cause she has a complicated relationship with her dad. Oh. And that's like what she carries around with her. And it's only when, like, I don't want to spoil anything, but like when she goes on her emotional journey, that she can sort of shed that and start dressing a little bit more her age and be more deliberate with her choices. And it's the same for her hair. But these are things that I try to think about to bring characters more to life in the little subtle ways.
Yes, we got a question here in the comments. Derek says, for Jordan, what's the scariest thing you actually saw in your youth camp?
Oh, boy. All right. Great. Well, gather around the campfire and let me tell you a spooky tale. No, so the most embarrassing. We didn't have the word cringe back then, but this is what was actually going. I mean, we had the word. We just weren't using it in this context.
It hadn't been invented until 2020.
Right, exactly. The most embarrassing thing that ever happened at one of these things is the popular song changed slightly to be about Jesus. They did it then. They do it now. Go on YouTube and search Christian parody. Maybe don't do that. but that's part of the like part of the pitch is like, this is fun. We you know this popular song that's on the radio. Well, we just made it about the Lord. And so, you know, if you want to be my lover, you got to get with my Lord. That is actually something I heard in youth group.
And real.
In the book, I believe we have Smash Mouth walking on the sun, spelled S-O-N.
Harder lyrically to pull off, but yes.
So yeah, those were the like things that were like very, very fun at the time. But when you look back on them, pretty embarrassing. And yeah, that is all, it's all in the book. It's all real. And I'm sorry.
Do you think now that they do, like, that's that me a Jesus-o or something like that?
Oh, wow, dude.
Was that good?
Oh, maybe that's not scanning for me. What is that supposed to be?
It's supposed to be. It was not good. It was not good. I was trying to do espresso, but I literally couldn't do it.
Oh, for the modern young people, yes.
Yeah. What about like wet ass Jesus? Wet ass Jesus? Is that
none of them work?
Mm-hmm,
okay. Yeah. I don't know. I'm grasping at straws.
You really connect to that.
These are as good as the real ones. That's the thing.
I could be in a youth group. I could run a youth group, I think.
You could.
Like, I'm Jewish, but let's just ignore that for a second. If anybody is interested in the book, obviously we've talked about it a lot, but what can they look forward to? We've obviously danced around spoilers. I don't want to spoil anything, but what do you want to tease, if anything, that people will check out if they pick it up?
Yeah, I mean, I think there is like satire in it and there is like personal stuff in it, but like, I think it's a fun, funny romp. I think if you were in one of these youth groups, you'll recognize the specifics. And even if you weren't, I think it's a fun glimpse at a wacko little world. And it's gorgeous. Bowen just did such a gorgeous job with the art. And I think that like comedy is hard in comics. It's something people say. And I think that the comedy works so well here because the characters are so expressive. They're just such like, they're showing those big teen emotions, and there's just all these like wonderful little details that I never could have imagined. Like, there's a fridge in this book. There's a shot from inside someone's fridge. It is not important to the story, but Bowen just drew the hell out of it. It's this detailed, beautiful fridge, and it just gives you a sense of place. You're like, we are in suburbia. There is Sunny D in this fridge. And then when the demon stuff happens, it's all the more shocking just because you've been given these like very like mundane suburban details. And like I've mentioned this in another interview, but there was a there's a scene in the book that I wrote with zero spice. A pretty like expositional scene between two characters. There's a little power dynamic going on. One character is a little embarrassed because she feels like the other character is cooler and wants to impress her, and didn't write it with any spice in mind. But when I got back Bowen's like pencils and then inks, I'm like, oh, this scene's a little spicy. It was really fun. Those little like
I have to insert things. My agenda.
Yeah,
it's totally by accident. I just read it that way, so I'm sorry.
No, that's maybe who knows what subconscious pit it came from.
And again, without spoiling anything, you definitely leave this world open for more potentially. Is this something you would want to return to for a potential sequel?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. It would be so much fun to do more of this. I think the book has a beginning, middle, and an end. So if you're,
that's you good. Know,
yeah. We did something audacious. Never done in comics before.
I went in and tore out the last 20 pages of every copy. So right. doesn't end.
Yeah. So I think it's a complete story. But yeah, I mean, we haven't like talked about it practically yet, but obviously if people like love the book and purchase it, then perhaps someone will request another one. And speaking for myself, I know Bowen is very busy, full dance card, as you might imagine. But I personally love to do more.
I would come back. That would be fun.
Yeah. Well, Bowen, for you then, since you do have a full dance card, what else do you want to plug that people should check out?
Where are you dancing?
I don't dance. We published a Monster High Pride comic, which was out last month. So that's pretty recent. Otherwise, I have a graphic novel series coming out with For a Second called The Westgrave Files, which is in the works. We're just starting. And that's written and drawn by me. And then I have my first graphic novel was also written and drawn by me. That's Spectre Inspectors. It's through Boom. So
which is like great. That's a great series that everybody should definitely check out, just to give a little plug there.
Yeah.
It rules.
Thanks. So
awesome. Jordan, what about you? Anything else you want to plug? Obviously, this is the big thing, but anything else people should check out?
No, I'm just kind of like hitting the road for youth group. I'll be at your finer cons and book events around the nation, starting at San Diego. So I hope I get to see folks at SDCC. And yeah, follow me on social media. I'll be out there, slinging books and signing books. And I hope people check it out.
Are you going to sing any songs on tour?
God, I should have got guy with an acoustic guitar to follow me around.
Yeah. Oh, that's really funny.
I'm just saying.
Missed opportunity.
Everybody join hands.
It's not too late. Still got a couple of weeks.
Yeah, we'll make Hall H sing Kumbaya. We are not in Hall H.
Right after as soon as they clear out the Marvel paddle, they bring you in. Also, the book is great, guys.
Yeah,
I'm so
congratulations.
Excited for people to
check
it out. Congratulations. Have a great night.
Thanks.
You too.
Thanks for having
us. You guys. All right. Bye. All right. There we go. Once again, the book is called Youth Group. It's out today from First Second.
Pretty awesome.
Like we were saying, it is great. Very, very fun. Very enjoyable. If you like demon slaying, if you like books that are good, check it out.
Yeah.
All right. Why don't we move on to our next section, which is my favorite section because you all make it up. It is your audience questions. And for audience questions, all you got to do is drop a question in the comments. It could be about absolutely anything. But before we get into that, why don't we talk about what we're drinking? Justin, did you make the Chemical X?
I did, and I feel like bubbles.
Oh.
I have a classic summer cup of it. A big plastic poolside adjacent cup.
Now, wait. I assume you're having Landshark, Pete. Yes.
You know it.
Landshark.
I'm having who's there?
Torpedo, Sierra Nevada Torpedo IPA.
Oh, wow. Nice. And of course, I'm switching over to
North
Country, the Bad Blue Light, because I am deep upstate New York.
We have a couple of questions coming in already, but while we're waiting for more, I know you called it, but actually, who is everybody's favorite Powerpuff Girl? Because I'll say Bubbles. I know that's the easy answer, but she's very funny.
My answer is Bubbles.
I'm straight Buttercup all day.
Yeah, no.
That wasn't a question. All right, why don't we get to some stuff here? This is from Michael. Who are we rooting for in the All-Star game this evening? I assume Michael is talking about the season finale of The Acolyte, a.k.a. the All-Star game. Who are you guys rooting for? I'm rooting for Kimir, a.k.a.
Wait, is this the last app?
This is the last app, man.
Oh, dude, what?
Who's going to win? Are you voting Dark Side or Light Side?
Man.
Tough.
I think it's time the Dark Side got a W, you know?
Yes.
I've been taking a lot of L's, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think they might take a W at the end of this show. I guess we'll see what happens. Mm-hmm. But All-Star game, I'll shut up and turn it over to you guys.
Yeah, I mean, we're rooting for the East Coast. You know what I mean? We're rooting for
going.
I don't want to, people are from
you don't
all
spoil
over.
It?
Yeah, I mean, I'm
it's winning. Okay. You can say who you're rooting for in a sports contest.
Yeah. Well, I'm just
Are you have a specific player you're rooting for, Pete, or what's the deal?
Well, I got two from my team. Yeah. I got Juan Soto and Judge out there, handling business.
But how do you feel about the Yankees tanking sort of in the last couple?
Yankees tanky?
Yankee tanky.
I don't feel good about it. I'll tell you what. But I did go to the Baltimore game and saw that on Saturday. So that was
the
fun.
Orioles.
Yeah.
Wow, Alex flexing suddenly. Orioles, I'll say.
I could contribute to this discussion.
I'm
it was only like
the
high 90s outside.
Yeah. Nice. Nat Towson just entered the chat. He's a Mets fan, so he's got to be loving life.
Oh, do you know also, Nat, beyond being a Mets fan, he asked me, no, actually demanded that I make this picture for him. It's crazy. I don't know why he was out of nowhere, no context whatsoever. He's like, hey, man, you got to make
this
picture for me.
Listen, you do some weird shit, Alex, and I'm tired of you bringing it to the show. All right.
I'm sick of you photoshopped on the abs. I don't like this at all, man. I don't like this at all.
This picture, you don't like that one?
No, I don't like it. I don't like it at all.
All right, I'll take it off the screen then. But I do want to mention, though, that
the picture that you're talking about scarred me. And I don't want to see it.
Do you mean this picture?
Yes, that picture.
This is a picture for anybody listening to the podcast of Nat Towson as Sydney Sweeney.
Again,
I don't know why he specifically had to put it on Nat. It was Nat texting me again.
What are we doing right now?
I will say that's a...
This has nothing to do with comics, man.
Is your problem, Pete, that you're sexually attracted to Nat now? Is that the issue?
It's confusing. I will say it's confusing.
He's very sexy in this
the
picture.
The face freaks me out because it doesn't quite fit, but it's just...
But it kind of fits,
that
right?
It doesn't quite fit. It doesn't quite fit.
I was surprised the bangs work so well over the glasses.
I know, that's the crazy
part. The way
the
bangs just touched the top of the glasses, Alex, I gotta say, this is great Photoshop work.
This is what... Is the show, because what are we doing right now?
The show?
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, this is, again,
this is just
Nat
dumb.
Was like,
Sydney Sweeney is a character in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Madam Web.
We're covering a topic that this topic was
cover it.
No, this happens in our Slack. Okay, full disclosure. Nat and I were having a text conversation.
Take the pic down!
Sorry. Okay. I'm trying. I'm really.
No,
really
you're
trying.
Not. No, oh, you're not.
Okay, there we go.
It's frozen that way.
Is that it?
Hell
did
no.
I do it?
Nope. Did I do
nope.
it?
No.
Okay. Wait. There. Is that it?
There. That's it.
There we go.
Okay. There we go.
You're not the only one with control, asshole.
This is great for all of our audio listeners. They get what's going on. Anyway. We got more questions here. This is from Scheuchler. What are your favorite superhero themed songs, or make up a superhero themed parody?
Oh, wow. Oh. Alex warming up his voice.
I die. I can't do it. I can't do it. I'm dead. Can I just mention, by the way, I don't think I mentioned this, but Kevin, aka Scheuchler, was nice enough to come to Bryant Park the other day when I was doing a talk about Court of Owls, which is very cool. He asked a question, full disclosure about these things. It's in the middle of Bryant Park, so there's a bunch of people that are like...
Explain what it is that you do this.
So,
it sounds crazy what you're saying.
Yes. So Bryant Park in New York, it's right off of Times Square, if anybody doesn't know what that location is. Huge park, lovely little park right in the middle of Manhattan. And they have a book club over the course of the summer. They alternate it between novels and graphic novels. Every summer, they've been nice enough to invite me back to host the graphic novel portion. So over the course of the summer, I do three talks. And they vary from Jadzia Axelrod came on to talk about Hawk Girl last month, which was great. And then sometimes it's me and somebody from Bryant Park just sort of chatting about it. And then it's usually a general talk about, like, what are comics? How do they work? This one, they were like, yeah, it's just you talking about Court of Owls. And I was like, uh-oh. And it turned out, fine, because it turns out I could talk about Court of Owls for a very long period of time.
Yeah, we know that.
But Kevin was in the audience, and there's a Q&A portion at the end. And Kevin raised his hand, and I was like, oh my God, Kevin is going to do a Kevin Stumper right in front. He's going to roast me in front of this whole crowd. And I want to laud Kevin for giving me a softball question there. So thank you, Kevin. I appreciate
it. Oh, wow. Look at Kevin making it look good, man. How about that?
Very nice. But not here, where he asked us to come up with superhero themed parody songs off the top of our heads.
I mean, I think he's had one of our favorite superhero themed songs, or a superhero theme song, I think you could say. And I think Alex would say Pocket Full of Kryptonite.
100%. No hesitation.
And Pete would have a slightly different answer and say a live version of Pocket Full of Kryptonite by Three Doors Down.
Which Three Doors Down song would you say, Justin?
Amber is the color of my energies. Oh, that's 311. I don't know what I'm talking about.
I don't know. That's fine. Are you going to go see Michael asks, are you going to go see Deadpool and Wolverine on opening night?
Goddamn right.
Cool.
Yeah, that's coming right up, right?
That is coming right up. I gotta make plans, I guess, to figure it out. So see what happens.
I mean, well, let's talk about the movie for a sec. The hype is real, and the mm-hmm. movie industry is relying on this to sort of fix it a little bit. Though there have been a lot of surprising hits in the last month.
There have. I'm very curious, particularly because they've been touring around the world showing off 40 minutes of the movie, which is wild. Like,
wow.
Normally, I don't know if that shows a lot of confidence or if the next hour and 20 minutes are absolute garbage. It's one of those two things, and I'm just not sure which way it's going to go.
But I mean, we'll 40 minutes is a lot, but I think they're confident about this movie. Everyone mm-hmm. seems very confident here. So, like, I think the movie is going to hit from just a story point of view. I think it's going to be good.
I hope so. There was a quote in Deadline. Kevin Feige did, like, I think it was probably an email interview or something, but...
Are you about to spoil anything?
No, 100% not. Kevin Feige was talking about, they asked him about, oh, is this the beginning of R-rated raunchy Marvel? And he's like, here's the thing. I'm 100% paraphrasing him, but he was basically like, yes, there's F-bombs. Yes, there's R-rated stuff, but it's not the beginning of R-rated edgy Marvel, because what makes this movie work is the emotional core and that it's about the characters. And I was like, great. I hope that's true, because that's what I want out of the movie.
Yeah.
Well, and it'll be interesting seeing the marriage of sort of the Fox side and the Marvel side coming together. And hopefully it doesn't get annoyingly complex like a lot of the Marvel movies lately. That's the real risk.
Yeah, it's everything that they're releasing about it seems like Easter Egg Fest 2024. And that's not what I want. Like, that's going to sell it to people. But there was a trailer they released today.
Don't spoil.
Take off your headphones. We do a comic book podcast. It's a line in a trailer, Pete, where some kid sees Wolverine and is like, Wolverine, and Deadpool's like, yeah, that's Wolverine. Disney's going to make him do movies until he's 90. And everybody's like, I love that joke. And I was like, I get it. I hope the whole movie isn't that, because that's too much winking.
I agree. And it does feel like they're sort of leaning into that, but that makes sense from a promotional point of view. So, like, I'm not super worried about that. But I will say we haven't seen sort of the underlying emotional arc that they're, right. We assume is in there. And that's hard to
put. To your point, that's harder to sell. Like, if they were in the
trailer. And we don't want it to be sold on.
Hey, man, Deadpool's sad about his girlfriend. Check out this movie, versus he's making Disney and Kevin Feige jokes. It doesn't sell as well. Pete, you can put back your headphones again. Frederico says, any thoughts on The Acolyte before it's ending tonight? And by the way, we won't spoil that Deadpool dies in the movie, but go ahead. What do you think?
Hey, you're funny, dude. Oh, man. Oh, you should be a comedian when you
grow
up.
What do you think about Acolyte, Pete? What do you think
about? I'm closer to dead than growing up, Pete, at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, that's my point. I think Acolyte was a little disappointing that they kept these twins apart for so long, and it's been this whole thing of like, well, when they go,
sorry,
when
did
they
you say the twins. I'm sorry.
Wow.
I'm so sorry.
No, you're not sorry. That's what's upsetting.
I feel
you're
very
not
bad
sorry.
Funny, Pete. You literally looked away from.
You're not fucking sorry, man.
Go ahead, Pete.
You're gonna do it again.
You
want to
besmirch the good name of Natty Sweetson?
No, I just don't see when you do these stupid fucking things.
Pete, what about The Acolyte? Talk about
that. What about The Acolyte? Talk about that.
I mean, I'm excited for The Acolyte finale. I do think Star Wars has been in a weird place for a while, and I think this is charting a different direction, and that's at least exciting. Like, you can't, whatever you feel about the individual episodes or the series as a whole, at least they're pushing towards something a little bit different.
Yeah, and I do like this idea of talking about the Jedi, and they're not this kind of untouchable thing. There is this kind of bad guy who maybe isn't that bad, or maybe it is. We were still kind of waiting on that reveal of like, yeah, I use the dark side a little bit here and there, you know, so does
I dabble.
Yeah, I dabble a little bit in the dark side, because if I did have the Force, I would struggle with that. You know, it seems like it would be a real hard.
You'd be doing some dark side
stuff. It would be some real fucked up shit.
Episodes,
Alex would be dead. His whole family would be dead. I mean, it would be a lot.
Just because I Photoshop some stuff? Man.
Yeah. Pete, I walked out of the bar at 4 a.m. I saw you force choking a cab driver. What was going on there? Is that some Sith shit? Were you Sith? We walked into his Jedis. And then you had, I don't know. Man.
Nelso Kelso says, have you guys had a chance to watch Long Legs or plan to? I really enjoyed it. Really want to see that. Have you seen it, Justin?
I haven't seen it. I've been in the woods for like a couple weeks. So I haven't seen a lot of the things I'm dying to see. And that is top of list. Mm-hmm. Can't wait to check that out.
I don't even know what we're talking about.
It's a new Maika Monroe, I think is how you pronounce her name, and Nicolas Cage movie. It's a horror movie. You're not going to like it, Pete.
Oh, okay, you're not going to like it.
It's reportedly, before it came out, people were like, this is the scariest movie I've ever seen in a way that was so insanely over the top, where they're like, I had a heart attack in the theater and I died. And then the movie came out with defibrillators and it woke me up and I screamed so hard that I died again and I died 15, you know, like... The hype was insane. And then people saw it and they're like, well, it's not that. But apparently
it's very unsettling. Like, I think like that overreaction felt like it was about like, oh, this movie does sort of mess with you by the end of it. And so that I'm excited for that.
Nat Townsend says, my audience question is whether Pete will come up to New York to watch Deadpool with me.
Oh, that would be nice. Yeah, let's see if we can make that happen.
Now that you got the punch out of the way, you guys are like really good friends, right?
Yeah. I don't think the punch ever ruined our friendship, but it was just something we had to do. You know, it was business to take care of.
Yeah.
Because the real version of Long Legs is just the bottom of that picture that Alex keeps putting on the screen.
Derek says, why does that pick exist? I'm not sure what pick he's referring to, honestly. So I guess we'll have to skip it. Stanley says, have you guys been to San Diego Comic-Con? Any wild stories there? Oop, that's great, like question. Basically just threw a ball up the air if you want to hit it into the hoop, Justin.
Yeah, I mean, you guys were drunk.
I'm so sorry. And what are you
assaulted
talking?
Jim Lee and said you
Baltimore Orioles.
Yeah. Hitting that ball in the hoop. I mean, we've been to San Diego Comic-Con how many times together? Like three, four
times?
Yeah,
something like that.
Not in a while, though, I will say. So this is
back. Can I mention something? This might mean something to anybody who is relatively new to our stream. So when we were at San Diego Comic-Con, not all of the years, but I think at least one of the years, we had an intern we were working with because we were working for a place called Next New Networks. And our intern was a guy named Charlie. And
what are
honestly,
you about to do right now?
What I'm about to say is like, apologies to Charlie. Like, I think we were very dismissive of him because we were like, yeah, you go work in the room and edit these things while we go.
I like how
parties.
You said we were dismissive to Charlie.
Okay, I was dismissive to Charlie.
Well, to be fair, that was what he was supposed to do.
Yeah, it was his job and what he was supposed to do. But like, clearly it was just a bummer anyway, and we shouldn't have done that. We should have taken him out and then come back and worked on it together or whatever we did. We did it wrong. The reason I bring this up, particularly
because Charlie is thriving and doing really great.
Let
and
me
has
finish
his own
this.
Channel.
The for anybody who knows YouTube stuff, Charlie is Emergency Awesome, who is exponentially more famous than us on YouTube at this point. Like, to a umpteenth degree. So he had the ultimate revenge there. Shout out to Charlie on that. Charlie, you're definitely not listening, but we do apologize, or I apologize. I don't apologize for Pete, really, who did nothing wrong.
Yeah, I was very nice to Charlie.
You were very nice to Charlie. You also left for the parties, but you did nothing wrong.
Is that the wild story you wanted to hear, Stanley? Was it an apology from Alex? but there were a lot of wild stories, one of which we've referenced a lot. Alex and I went to a party at Jim Lee's room where there was nothing left to drink but warm vodka, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
So we
and you guys
it.
Went
and we were
to
hanging
town
out
on
with
it.
Gabriel. Well, at least I was hanging out with Gabriel Ba and Fabio Moon at that party. And I very specifically remember, I think it was Gabriel Ba who was like, we were so drunk at this point. The Gabriel Ba was like, no, you got to feel the rhythm bad like this on your chest. And I was like, yeah, I get it. I'm a very rhythmic dude. And it was great. Like, it was super fun. But I was very much like, I'm out of my depth here. I don't know what's going
on. Yeah, okay. And then I eventually reunited with you, Alex. And then we walked out. And that's where I said, Jim, you're the king of San Diego, to Jim Lee.
And you tapped him on the shoulder with your hand. And he gave you a look like.
Yeah. But you're sort of like, uh-huh.
And he's like, are you fucking with me? I don't know if this is a real compliment or.
But it was great. Yeah.
And that's when he started charging more for his.
It's all your fault. It was all your. You blew it, Justin. Yeah.
There we go. Lots more San Diego Comic-Con.
He hung out with Kyle Baker a lot.
Yes. And wore his hat. You wore his hat.
You wore Kyle Baker's.
That's the thing. You were like very nice to Charlie and then immediately left to go to the parties. And then we didn't see you all night and came back and you were hanging out outside a hotel with Kyle Baker wearing his enormous hat.
Ain't nothing
wrong
with that.
It was like a Jamiroquai style.
Ah, good times. Good times. And that is it for your audience questions. We are going to move on with our next section, which is trivia. And for that, I'm going to turn it over to Pete LePage.
A lot of potential here. And who will we highlight?
Wait, Justin, do you think... actually, I think like just sort of a general bet. Am I about to get very mad at Pete or not? What do you
definitely
think?
I feel like from now on we should call you and I should have a separate section where we call a celebrity that Pete's, because Pete's pre-written trivia. He's not just making this up. It can seem that way sometimes, but he has a celebrity he's highlighting here, and I think Alex and I should call it from now on.
Well, that sounds fun. All right. This is the part we give back to you, the lovely audience. It's an opportunity to win $25 free to Midtown Comics Online. Because if you had $25, you'd want to go to a comic book shop, get some comics.
Hell yeah.
So all we need is a first-hand up person. We got a couple.
David Quinley was the first one.
Yeah, I'll do it. Great.
All right, there we go.
Quinjet, as we call him, David Quinley.
The old Quinjet. Today's trivia is on comic book ninjas. And a small nod to the legend, Donald Sutherland, R.I.P. President Snow. All right, here we go. Please listen to all three options.
I need to look up the date he died.
This is Alex's new favorite part, is he looks up the person I'm...
June 20th? How far behind are you?
Obviously, you have the date, so now you know how far behind it, you know? It's less than a month.
No, how long is your list? That's what I want to know. It's less than a month. How long until you get to Shannon Doherty?
Ah, I know. Oh, rest
oh boy. That's going to be great. I can't wait for that to happen in September or October or something like that.
Yeah, oh, man.
And when do we highlight your local mailman that died? I assume that's next
week. That's next week, Rest in peace. Anyways, please listen to all three options before making your selection. Here we go. Question number one. This great
Pablo Durbertina says no Shannon Doherty love. No, absolutely not. Like,
yes,
actual,
eventually.
No, straight hatred towards Shannon
what
Doherty.
What are you talking about?
No, because clearly you're ignoring her this week. So
that's some Shando. Hey, and let me say, I acted with Shannon Doherty in a web series.
Wait, keep that story in your
quiver. No, do not! She just passed away. This is when we pay tribute to people, Pete.
I mean, it will be weird in like a month when you're like, Shannon Doherty.
And then Alex, did she die? Let me Google it.
That's a really good impersonation of me.
Thank you.
He does
how you type. Just like that.
You look like a Muppet when you're mad. All right, here we go. Question number one. This great comic and main character was not only a cowboy, a ninja, and a blank. Is it a Viking? B, weird name for a Viking. C, bunny semen.
And this is a tribute to Donald Sutherland.
It's a tribute.
A small nod, if you will.
And
to
this
the
is
legend.
Live streamed. This is being live streamed to his family. Did you say?
A is correct.
Nice.
A is correct.
Fair, David
Viking.
Quinley said A like 15 comments ago.
Yeah. All no, right. Also, to be clear, it's not streamed to his family. Pete prints this out and sends this to him.
Good.
Here we go. Question number two. This ninja was created by the great Larry Hama. Is it A, Snake Eyes? B, Pat, when are you going to start helping? C, Patrick Halpin?
Also, just as a shout while we're waiting for the answer, I saw this bubbling up on social media a little bit. Larry Hama apparently is like, I'm not doing too great. I don't know how long I can do sketches, so please get in your sketches while I still can draw. Oh. And on the same note, G.I. Joe, A Real American Hero, is one of the top-selling titles from Image. And I'm not the first person to say this, but like, give him his money so that he can get whatever medical help he needs. Yeah, my God.
By God.
This industry is crazy.
Yeah.
A is
correct. Yes. Here we go. Last one. This ninja has been both a villain and a hero over at Marvel Comics. Is it A, Elektra? B, a weirder name for Kingpin? C, Thick Wilson?
That's a good one. That's a good one. I like you save that for the third. That's a banger.
Yeah.
Honestly, I like that better than Kingpin, and that's what I'm going to say from now on.
You know who would have loved that? Donald Sutherland.
I think so, too.
Exactly.
I think so, too.
Exactly. Nice one, Pete. I don't know how to do it.
Rest in peace, baby.
Someone out of the nowhere being like, quick, do a Donald Sutherland impression. Like,
I don't know.
I'm sorry. I don't know. What are you talking about?
David Skrykton is A.
Great. There we go. Yep. Congratulations, David. You are getting a $25 gift card to Mid-Dog Comics. Shoot us an email and we will get that to you. Pete, what is the secret movie you are paying tribute a month plus late to Donald Sutherland?
Of course, I'm talking about the 1967 OG, The Dirty Dozen.
Of course. I think you throw an of course in there.
Great. Yep. As we all know, new comics are coming out tomorrow. What are you guys looking forward to? I'm going to start with Justin because I'm mad at Pete.
Now you know how I feel all the fucking time.
You love to hear it. I mean, there is a lot of stuff
coming out
tomorrow. So much to talk about. But I'm going to throw it out to you. Obviously, Powerpuff Girls. I was going to say that anyway.
Yeah.
The fact that we had these great guests on our show.
Such a great issue.
But I also want to shout it out to Nightwing 116. Every issue of this feels precious as we get closer and closer to the end. So I can't wait to just absorb that into my brain.
Nice. Pete, what about you?
Yeah, well, a little of this first, but I agree. Nightwing was on my shout out. And of course, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles number one. I mean, come on.
That doesn't come out until July 24th, but sure.
It's still something I'm looking forward to that we're talking about tomorrow. So suck it, dick. X-Men Bloodhunt. Laura Kitty, The Wolverine number one, and The Incredible Hulk number 14.
Nice.
All right. 16 years of shouting out books that are coming out tomorrow and you decided you don't care. That's fine with me. Great. I have no problems with that. I am very interested to check out Paranoid Gardens coming out from Dark Horse Comics. New Gerard Way book. Curious to see how that turns out. Probably crazy, I'm guessing. And Namor number one from Jason Aaron, where he's looking to define the Sea King.
Surprising.
For a new generation. Really curious to check that out.
One more to say real quick. Fish Flies number seven.
Oh,
closing
yeah.
Out the series from Jeff Lemire. Really enjoyed this. A slow build of a series that really popped off last issue, I thought, and sort of redefined everything that was happening. Very excited to check out how it comes to a close.
And all those books and many, many more are going to be at our Stack podcast that debuts Wednesday, 9 a.m. in the Stack feed and its own dedicated Stack feed, as well as the Comic Book Club feed. And folks, that is it for this week's show. A couple of people we want to thank. We want to thank Kelly Thompson and Polina Gattachow for coming on to talk about Powerpuff Girls. That is out tomorrow from Dynamite. Also, Jordan Morris and Bowen Bones McCurdy for Youth Group, which is out today from First Second. Check that out. Next week on the show, we got a packed one. Bethany Mergua is going to be here to talk about Wagnificent. Owen Rosenblum and Morgan Rosenblum are going to be here to talk about Ram God. And Ron Case is going to be here to talk about all things bite-sized Archie, but also Alien books, Valiant, and their rebooted universe. So that should be exciting.
So much stuff. Very cool.
Couple of other things to plug. Comic Book Club News, our daily news podcast. Check that out in its own feed. Let's hear it for the boys. Our boys podcast coming out on Thursday's season finale this week. We're going to have it for your ear holes as it drops. Patreon.com/comicbookclub to support this show and all the shows we do. Don't forget to subscribe on Apple, Android, Spotify, or the app of your choice at Comic Book Live on Twitter/X, Comic Book Club Live on Instagram and TikTok, comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and many more. Until next time, good night.
Good night, folks.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, everybody. Have a good night.
But, you
good night. Take
douche.
Us home,
you fucking
Sydney.
Fuckball.